This is the 29th day of June, 1982. We are in Kelso Township, Dearborn County. I am interviewing Ted and Gertrude Shantz. The interviewer is Rita Kirchgassner.
Because I've already told him who I was interviewing. Here we should go. Okay, Ted, you want to tell him where your parents came from?
Oh, my, I don't know, don't have to be too loud.
Nah.
My parents all came from Germany, in different parts of Germany. And my grandfather, one grandfather was born at Cincinnati. The other grandfather was born in Wheeling, West Virginia. My grandmother was born in Germany. And the other grandma was born at here at Yorkville, and she was the first child that was baptized here.
That's right, Francis.
You notice it in the
book. And Francis Miller.
Yeah, Francis Miller. Okay. She was the first child that was baptized here.
Do you know about when they immigrated to the United States?
Says us.
Okay, Ted, when do you think your parents immigrated here?
Well, my parents, only one of my great-grandparents immigrated here.
Oh, that's right.
The other says were born in Wheeling, West Virginia, in Cincinnati, Ohio, and my grandmother was born here. But my grandmother, Shantz, she was born in Europe. She was 4 years old when she landed in America. That's the only one that was born in Europe.
Oh, okay. Down Germany. Yeah, and then you were born in Yorkville, right?
I was born in Yorkville.
Okay. And then your parent, your mother was, what was your mother's name?
Feist, Clara Feist.
Feist, right.
Clara Feist, yeah.
Can you describe for us what Yorkville was like then as you were growing up? What's your fondest memories about growing up? Can you remember much what Yorkville was like then?
Well, there wasn't just too much difference between Yorkville. It hasn't grown very little since that time. In fact, it's not quite as big now as it was. We had, when I was little, we had a hardware store. We had two groceries. We had two taverns and two blacksmiths, one wagon maker. And now they're all gone, but one tavern.
That is, oh my gosh, that has been kind of a decrease.
Yeah, and there's a few different houses, but there were just as many people then, I think, as they are now, or more.
Yeah, and then you went to the Catholic grade school at Yorkville, right?
I started about 76 years ago. I started a school there, and I went to a Catholic school, went to a public school, but it was taught by Catholic nuns. And we studied German and English, but our German consisted of catechism and Bible history. And that was held every morning from 8 to 9. And at 9 o'clock, well, the religious books were put aside, and we went to public school and, you know, went to a reading, writing, and all that. And some mornings the priest would give instructions, two Catholic instructions, but he never was in any part in the school. And there was no more religion after 9 o'clock. That was the time that all the other public schools started. And as we went on through, and we went on through until we were 12 or 13 years old, and then we quit school. In fact, I and Joe Agee, Carolyn Zare, and I think Shorty Miller were the first ones to graduate out of the 8th grade here, that we had any graduation.
Oh, that was all of them in your class? That was all of them in your class?
Well, yeah, they just there were some more, but some didn't go take it, see. We just went through and finished. the biggest nobody ever went was over the seventh grade, the highest, about seventh grade, and we went out.
Is that when you made your solemn Holy Communion, when you were in the eighth grade?
No, you made it when you were 12, wasn't it?
When I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 12, I made it.
So that'd be about the sixth grade or fifth?
Yeah, somewhere along with that, about sixth grade. And then everybody either stayed home and went fishing, or the girls, a lot of them went to work right after that. Everybody went to Cincinnati to work within a year or so, you know.
Oh, after they graduated. Well, did you have to go to Mass every day when you were
In school?
To school?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, we had Mass every morning. And we had German... all German church service, and German catechism and Bible history in school. But after that, it was English. That's the only German we had in there. And I think that was mainly kept, too, because the parents all spoke German at home.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had to instruct their children of an evening, their homework, which consisted maybe of reading or writing or something, they could do it, see? But if it's been in English, why, I don't know, I guess I was 10, 12 years old before we ever had all the English. Nearly all the priests spoke German. Everything was German.
You went to confession in German?
Yeah.
Everything?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been different then. Well, could you read and write German yourself then? You could read and write German.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. When did they, because my dad used to tell me that even before World War II, some people still could only go to confession in German.
Oh, yeah.
That they couldn't go in English.
Mm-hmm. I know my grandmother, Sean, she always went German, too, and one time we had a different priest, and he couldn't understand or speak German, you know, and sir, she went to confession with my grandma. How'd you get along? Oh, says, we got along. Says, well, he didn't know I did.
Did anything happen to you in your childhood days? Does anything really stick out, or did anything happen in Yorkville while you were growing up?
Nothing extraordinary. Because
it was a
people dying, and then George Hagen fell off the schoolhouse and killed him. Got killed.
Oh, how old was he? Was he very old?
Well, possibly 40s around there, something like that.
What was he doing, repairing it? Or?
Yeah, putting on new roof.
Because Yorkville's always been primarily a farming community.
Oh, yeah, farming community, yeah.
Yeah, that's what, you know, what we're still used to today. But I was just wondering if anything happened while you were growing up, or...
Nothing outside of the ordinary things, or...
Well, did you always help your dad farm and such? Did you always have to do a lot of work around the farm when you were growing up?
Yeah, all I did do was farm.
What would they like for you to kind of share with them what your thoughts are on the transition going by doing everything by hand to modern day machinery and such? They kind of like for you to describe like when you for your earliest recollection of farming. Like what you did when you put in hay, or because you probably had to pick corn by hand.
Well, yeah, we didn't plant any by hand anymore. But my mother was telling me that one field, they planted the whole field by hand. And my first recollection is a one row planter and one horse. One man furrowed a row, and the other man followed with a one horse planter, mm-hmm. and then we followed. Later on, we got into a two-horse. Two-horse, a two-row planter.
Boy, that was a big step up for him.
Yeah,
it
sure was, you know, yeah.
It took him twice less mm-hmm. time. Oh.
Yeah, one fellow at one time had made the remark that in Illinois now, they're far ahead of us, they plow two rows of corn at one time. And... Well, Hartman out there said, there ain't a man on earth can plow two rows of corn at one time. Now they plow six and eight.
Eight rows one time, I know. It's really changed since then.
Yeah.
Well, how long
I recall the first, my father had the second binder, a wheat binder in the community. And I recall when that was a little fellow, when that was a big machine already. That was really it.
Well, how long would it take you, like, to put in, let's say, 5-6 acres of hay?
Oh, a couple of days, 2 days maybe.
By hand?
By hand, you know, to mow it.
Did you milk a lot of cows? Did you have to do your fair share of milking?
Oh, yes, yeah, we always had some cows, always mainly diversified farming. We had chickens and hogs and cattle and horses and raised wheat and oats and hay and corn, a little of everything. And about everybody was satisfied if they had good crops, had enough to eat for a year, had a few cents to spend, that's all. Everything was, didn't buy much, because they raised about everything almost that you needed, plus your sugar, coffee, and kerosene. That's about the only thing, maybe a few little spices, maybe, or something like that, salt and pepper, but outside of that, everything was raised.
Well, I know you've been a farmer, the biggest, or the majority of your life. Did you ever hold down any other jobs?
No.
You just farmed your whole life?
Farming was my main life, yeah.
Well, did you ever have
to I was in war.
Did you ever go
the only thing I was gone was when during World War One, I was in service.
Yeah. I want you to tell them, because I did a little research, you were the first one to register for World War One, right, in this area?
In this area, yeah.
Yeah.
In York
Township, you were the first one to register. Mm-hmm. I saw that in the newspaper. What did you do in World War One? Did you get to travel much, or?
That was with the Army Guard. We were escorting ships across on the destroyer. We were doing escorts. We never landed over there. We turned back just before we got to the port, because things were too crowded over there. They claimed, you know, we carried enough provisions for everything for a round trip, and
mm-hmm.
we'd go and come back. And
well, how long were you gone? Or how long were you in the service?
I was only in there over 6 months.
That's right, because we didn't enter the war until later anyway.
Hmm?
We didn't enter the war until later.
Yeah, mm-hmm, so. Yeah, we were out on the ocean when the war was ended.
So.
When we got word that the armistice would be signed at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we had 3 days yet to get back into port here.
So you were only gone about 6 months then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that wasn't too long.
No, it wasn't. I made going on right on straight through. I didn't sort of hang around long here. Right on.
No.
The trading station and aboard ship. And
well, when you came back, that was about the time they were completing building the church at Yorkville, weren't they? That was about the same time?
Not that time, yeah.
Because when reading about it, they were saying how, you know, a lot of, when they were building it, a lot of men had gone off to war and such too, near
mm-hmm.
the end. Because
1918.
Yeah, it's when they finished it. So did you help any with the construction of the church?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we hauled. That whole church was hauled by horse and wagon. All the brick, all the stone, all the sand, the ironwork, the woodwork, was all hauled up from Guilford by horse and wagon. And no trucks yet when that church was built. And that church on the side altar, St. Blessed Virgin altar, are the names of all the boys of the parish that were in the army.
Oh, that were served in World War One, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Weren't they the ones that served in
World War One, that's it, World War One. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're talking about World War One.
Yeah, because they donated the money for that altar.
Yeah,
didn't they?
The boys in service donated the money for the altar.
Because that's really a pretty altar. The church is really pretty, too.
Yes,
I still think it's one of the prettiest churches around. They really did a good job on the architecture And where did those stained glass windows come from in there?
They came from Germany. They were... Father Sunderman was finished his education in Germany, in Innsbruck, Austria. And he kept in touch with some of those fellows, and he got the fellow that painted that church was from Germany. The first painting. He was out of work over there. They had no work. He couldn't, after the war, you know, the country was ruined. He had no work, so he came over. Got in touch with Father Sunderman. He came over here, and he got him several jobs here painting churches here. He was a regular artist. Boy, he was good. And those windows were the last windows out of a certain place where they make them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They burn them because they was either quitting or had to quit. They had no more money to go ahead. You know, Germany was ruined, but they were imported.
Oh, that's right, because that was at the height of World War I when they were building St. Martin's Church in Yarkville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that was right during wartime and such.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they were able to get the windows from Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they were able to transport them without breaking. None of them broke when they came?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so, they did.
Oh, that's amazing that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else we'd like to know is, you can take however long you want to think about it, do you see any traditions today that are still here, that were around, that you think that maybe our German ancestors brought to Yarkville? Do you see anything that's still carrying on? What I'm getting at is, do you see a lot of similarities today that you grew up with? Do you think the people...
More things... People have changed, times have changed, and I don't see if there's anything too much different. We all... My father used to say, every generation figures the next generation is going to hell. You know, he's heard all along, you know, the young generation.
Yeah. Well, what did you used to do for social activities? You know, now the children have TV, you know, they don't seem to have a free night. They have their basketball games, yeah, football games, their dances, skating rinks. What did you used to do for entertainment?
Held hands with the girls. No, we had more social life between neighbors than they have now. Because we all had to have neighbors. We needed them for work that had to be done. You know, you had to have your neighbors to help you, and you helped all your neighbors. And your neighbors would gather at the time of the evening while they'd pass either talking or play cards or stuff like that, you know. And we as young folks, we a lot of times get out maybe on a Saturday evening and get a bunch together and go to somebody's house and push the old kitchen table against the wall, and somebody get a harp out or a violin or something, and we'd have a dance.
This is mostly spontaneous.
Yeah, it used to be. We find some people better than others. Some people didn't like so much, but other people didn't. Hell, you come as soon as you came with it. Show the old kitchen table over on the side somewhere.
But you probably had a lot of work to keep you busy, too.
Oh, yes, you were work. You all had work. There was no idle time to do much. And after I was younger, we had summertime. There was a ball team. About every community had the ball team. New Orleans, Yorkville, Manchester, everybody had. And we'd go to ball games, you know, on Sunday afternoon. That was about as far as it went, and we spent a lot of time walking.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you that goes along with this is, you know, people still, some people today still can't believe the German weddings out here, the big receptions with the beer and the food and such. Was that like it in your time too? Did people pretty well have big receptions back then, or did they?
Oh, yeah, well, they, you mean at weddings and so forth, yeah. About everybody that was a relative or a good friend was invited when there was a wedding. I remember some that I went to as a kid, you know, that were just good friends and went to the wedding, you know. And,
but they didn't have as many in the wedding party as they do now.
Yeah,
they just had two.
What did they used to do? What's called, is it chivalry? What's that called?
Chivalry.
Chivalry? Did they do that in your day?
Yeah.
Did they do that to you when you got married?
Yes, sir.
What did they do to you?
Oh, they, some call it a chivalry, and others call it a tin painting or something like that. You know,
chivalry?
Everybody made a lot of noise and
oh, they
woke
have
them
hands
up
and horns and bells and everything and just make a noise. And you had to treat them.
Well, now, how long have you and Gert been married? How many years is it?
63.
63?
63.
And you got married at New Elsa's or Yorkville?
New Elsa's. 63
years.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably seen a lot of changes since you've gotten married and married couples and such.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Yeah, it is. It's really changed from back then.
Yeah, we didn't have no automobile those days. My cousin took us up to church for the wedding day.
Oh, gosh.
We had a big car.
Well, back then, probably, if you would have gotten $10 for a wedding gift, you would have been ecstatic.
Oh, what?
Yeah, a lot of...
Was it 40?
A lot of people, I remember the figure that... when my father and mother were married, they got an awful lot of glassware, and lamps and stuff. And this before that, a couple of weeks before that, the storekeeper got brought in a great big order, big supply glassware and lamps and stuff, you know, so that everybody got that. They bought it. Well, that was possibly. I guess we haven't got nothing. The old kids got them all, I think, they did the lamps and stuff.
There's a few things.
And that was... some of them maybe 50 cents, 75 or a dollar, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Times have changed, but except now they're getting all type of talent and everything else, and they register and everything else.
I said for a shower, they have
my grandfather and grandmother, when they were married, they lived below Yorkville, and they got up at 4 o'clock that morning and hitched the horses to Joel's regular farm wagon and drove to Oldenburg to get married.
Father Rudolph.
And Father Rudolph, the founder of the Oldenburg Convent, married them. And they had... They were sending in already in Oldenburg because they went over to ask whether they could get somebody to fix them some breakfast. And the lady says, yes, and... She started getting ready. Oh, she's married. Are you married? Just getting married? She says, yes. Oh, my. She says, and she runs and she threw the old oilcloth off the table, put a linen tablecloth on, and one of the kids had to pick up a bouquet of flowers to put on the table. Yeah, now they drove. That was 18, 20 miles. I guess we were old.
Must have really been in love to get up at 4 in the morning to ditch
horses. Yeah, I say so.
to drive to Oldenburg and get married.
Was that that day that the wagon got stalled and they took a stone?
No, yeah, the roads were still rough, no good roads, and they drove across the creek and got again a great big stone, and the team couldn't pull the wagon across it, so the men took their shoes and socks off and rolled their pants up and got out of the water and got some wood, some limbs, and tried to pry the wagon up, you know, to help the horses pull it across.
Was this on their wedding day?
Yeah, on their wedding day. They were going to the wedding.
Well, what if they didn't think that was an omen to turn back or something? I know, I wonder